Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and I'm glad you're listening today. And listen, if you need prayer, you can email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship, or you could log on to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship and hit our prayer message board, and we will have our prayer team praying for you. Over the past few weeks, I've seen some wonderful healings and miracles by God through prayer. And so if you need prayer, contact me and we'll pray for you. We've been doing a series on the marks of the church, and last week we talked about joy. This week I'm going to talk about a mark of the church that is so deep and profound that I don't think we can even come close to plumbing the depths and the meaning of this mark in the little bit of time that we have today. But what comes to your mind when you hear the word Thanksgiving? What does Thanksgiving mean to you? And I know I'm not talking about a Thanksgiving meal, okay? Maybe you are. But what comes to your mind when you hear the word Thanksgiving? How do you give Thanksgiving? Better yet, how do you live Thanksgiving? We have two really long readings, so before we dig in, I'm just going to say, let us pray. God of mercy and grace and forgiveness, we gather today with a thankful heart, and we give you all our thanks and all the glory for the lives you have given us. We are so thankful, and we are so grateful, and help us to always live a life of thanksgiving. Amen. And our first reading comes from 1 Chronicles chapter 16, and it's a long reading, so bear with me. It's chapter 16, 7 through 36. This is when David brought the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, and the Ark arrives in chapter 16, and David and all the people begin to worship, and the Ark has been brought into the tent that King David pitched for the tent, you know, and they're going to read 1 Chronicles, and let's hear David's song of praise and thanksgiving. That day, David first committed to Asaph and his associates this psalm of thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. O descendants of Israel, his servants, O sons of Jacob, his chosen one, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever. The word he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac, he confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as a portion you will inherit. When you were but few in number, few indeed, and strangers in it, they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. He allowed no man to oppress them. For their sake he rebuked kings. No, do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. Verse 23, sing to the Lord all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him, strength and joy in his dwelling place. Verse 28, ascribe to the Lord, O families of the nations, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then the trees of the forest will sing, and they will sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes in to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Cry out, save us, O God, our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name, that we may glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And then all the people said, Amen, and praise the Lord. By doing this, King David reminded the people of Israel that worship was to begin and end with the Lord. King David took several of the Psalms that had been written and combined them together in this praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. You probably didn't notice, because I was reading it, unless you had your Bible open, but David uses the title, the Lord, 14 times. David wanted to remind the people of God's work, verses 8 through 13, God's word, verses 14 to 22, and God's wonder, verses 23 through 36. David wanted the people to be thankful and to offer up thanksgiving sacrifices of praise for God's works, God's words, and God's wonder. King David wanted the people to offer up thanksgiving and praise for the Lord's glory, his greatness, and his goodness. Can you imagine the excitement of that day? The ark finally came to Jerusalem. One day the ark would disappear, but the inspired song of praise and thanksgiving has remained for all generations to use as they worship God. King David does not end the song with God's works, words, or wonder. King David reminds the people that after you have worshiped, you must remember to witness to the lost, verse 23, and to do your part in getting the worship of God out into the nations of the world, verse 24 and 31. This past week, I found an interesting and compelling statement from Archbishop William Temple. Temple was the 98th Archbishop of Canterbury, and he pointed out the essential nature of worship. And this is his words, quote, "For to worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God, to purge the imagination by the beauty of God, and to open the heart to the love of God, and to devote the will to the purpose of God." It has been said that many people worship their work at their play, and play at worship. Maybe that's where you're at. One Dear Abby column described a poll the writer took asking churchgoers why they went to church. Not one of them mentioned worship. Wow. Maybe conviction is falling. So what? Why do we come to worship? Why do we come together as a church? What is thanksgiving? And how do we as a people offer up thanksgiving? When Paul wrote the letter to the church in Colossus, the book of Colossians, he was sitting in prison in Rome awaiting his own death. Paul had never been to Colossus, but he had heard of their faith and he was thankful for their love for Christ. Paul wanted to proclaim the preeminence of Christ when he wrote this letter. His theme of the letter is one of thankfulness. I'm going to read Colossians 1, 3 through 14. It's a wonderful prayer that Paul wrote. He says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that springs from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace and all its truth." Verse 7, "You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray that this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with the power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of God. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, and he has brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. Few have understood the power of giving thanks, living with a thankful heart, as thoroughly as Elie Wiesel, the Holocaust survivor and novelist. Here's the transcript of Elie's when he was on Oprah Winfrey. Oprah asked this question: there may be no better person than you to speak about living with gratitude. Despite all the tragedy you've witnessed, do you still have a place inside of you for gratefulness? And Elie responded, absolutely. Right after the war, I went around telling people, thank you just for living, for being human. And to this day, the words that come most frequently from my lips are, thank you. When a person doesn't have gratitude, something is missing in his or her humanity. A person can almost be defined by his or her attitude towards gratitude. Oprah said, does having seen the worst of humanity make you more grateful for ordinary occurrences? And Elie responded, for me, every hour is grace. And I feel gratitude in my heart each time I can meet someone and look at his or her smile. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship, and we're talking about Thanksgiving. What a powerful testimony of living with Thanksgiving, Elie. Elie said, when a person doesn't have gratitude, something is missing in his or her humanity. A person can almost be defined by his or her attitude towards gratitude. In the Old Testament, when the word thanksgiving is used, it's very closely tied to praising God. Psalm 50, verse 14 says, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Psalm 136, 1 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his steadfast love endures forever. The New Testament seems to take this idea one step further. Not only are we to praise God and give thanks, but we are to beginning to learn how to live a life of thanksgiving. Listen to John chapter 6, verse 11, when Jesus then took the loaves, and when he broke them, he gave thanks, and he distributed the loaves to those who were seated. And Jesus gives thanks to God, and then he shared what he had. When I went on my computer program trying to look up the word Thanksgiving, it downloaded an overwhelming amount of reasons for Thanksgiving. We thank God for his character. We thank God for his goodness. We thank God for his presence, his answers to prayer, his works, his wonders, his words, his victory over sin and death, his forgiveness, his mercy, his power, his peace, his love. Do you remember that the Lord's Supper is called the Great Thanksgiving? We celebrate the Great Thanksgiving every time we share the sacrament of communion. So what? Sean Acor, a psychologist who teaches at Harvard, suggests that we can train our brains to become more grateful by setting aside 5 minutes a day for practicing gratitude. That's a profound thought, that we can practice gratitude by setting aside 5 minutes a day. He cites a one-week study in which people were asked to take 5 minutes a day. Did you hear me? 1 week. So start today. I don't know when you're listening to this. Start today for 1 week. Start today. Take 5 minutes a day. That's what, 7 times 5 is 35. That's 35 minutes out of your life this week. 5 minutes a day and offer up Thanksgiving. He said, take 5 minutes a day at the same time every day to write down 3 things that you're thankful for. write down three things that you're thankful for. They didn't have to be big things, but they had to be concrete and specific, such as, I'm thankful for the delicious meal that I'm eating. I'm thankful for my daughter who gave me a hug. I'm thankful for my boss's compliment at work. The participants simply expressed thanks for three specific things at the same time each day. Now, you can do this. I know you can do it. Take 5 minutes at the same time each day and write down three things that you're thankful for. At the end of the one-month study, the researchers followed up and found that those who practiced gratitude, including those who stopped the exercise after 1 week, they compared them. The ones who practiced gratitude were happier and less depressed. Remarkably, after 3 months, the participants who had been part of the one-week experiment were still more joyful and content. Incredibly, after the six-month mark, they were still happier, less anxious, and less depressed. The researchers' hypothesis was the simple practice of writing down three Thanksgivings a day over the course of a week primed the participants' mind to search for the good in their lives. So here's your so what. Because our so what each week is our application. I can read this long passage in 1 Chronicles. I can read the Paul's prayer to the Colossians. But what's all that stuff mean to you? What are these ancient words to you? So here's my challenge to you today. I pray that you would take this challenge. At the same time of the day for the next week, write down three things that you're thankful for. Three specific, concrete things. Yes, write them down. It's important. Here's my first three things that I wrote down today. I am thankful that a young boy at a wrestling tournament did not get seriously hurt at a tournament I did. I'm thankful that I was able to go to dinner with my wife and two good friends last night and share some memories and laughs. I'm thankful for being able to walk around the mall with three of my grandchildren and to celebrate the night with a Starbucks coffee. And I'm not promoting Starbucks, but we stopped for a coffee. Those are my three things I wrote down that I'm thankful for. I'm going to challenge you. Here's your so what. At the same time each day, maybe it's before you go to bed. Boy, would that be powerful. You might be able to sleep at night. Maybe it's in the morning. Maybe it's at lunchtime. Maybe it's at your break time. You can write them on your phone. Many of you use your phone to text yourself, okay? There you go. Text yourself three things that you're thankful for. Try this 1 week. 1 week. Take 5 minutes and write down something, the three things that you're thankful for. The research is in. If we can do this small listing of three thankful things for this week, I can guarantee you that you're going to be happier, that you're going to be less anxious and less depressed in a week, in a month, and even in 6 months. This is a wonderful time for us to do this, a time of praise and thanksgiving, learning how to live a life of thanksgiving, not just thanksgiving. Our Thanksgiving time, we are to praise God, and then Thanksgiving comes down to live among us as we share what we have with others in our family, at our work, at our school, when we go out to the grocery store, on the freeway. Wouldn't it be nice if we were more thankful on the freeways out here? I'm even going to help you out. I can send you a chart for the next week if you'd like. Each day has three spaces for you to write down what you're thankful for. I've added on my little chart, I've added a verse for you to memorize as you do this little exercise. Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let thanksgiving be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 7. Text yourself that passage. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, thanksgivings, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I think Jesus was onto something when he lifted up the bread and the cup and he gave thanks. I think the early church was onto something when they called communion the great thanksgiving. More than anything, I want us to wear this mark in our church at the Seed Christian Fellowship, but more importantly, in our lives. We've been talking about the marks of the church, love and joy and thanksgiving. This is a powerful mark if we lived with gratitude. I believe this is a mark that God wants not just the church to have, but God wants you to have. Jesus, others, and you, that's joy. But the mark of thanksgiving and living that out, I'm going to encourage you. I have a little chart. You can email me at PastorDave@TheSeedChristianFellowship, and I will send you this little chart. You can do this yourself. In fact, I would encourage you to go look up Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 7, and write those words down. In fact, I made them bold. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be known to God with thanksgiving, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I'm going to challenge you. This is your so what, a simple, simple so what. Take 5 minutes each day and write down three things that you're thankful for. Now, the psychologist said do it at the same time every day. That would be a good habit to get into. I don't know whether you get up in the morning and you offer up a prayer, or you read your scripture, or you do a devotion, or you do it at nighttime. I don't know your time with God. This could be just 1 5-minute time with God. Write down three things that you're thankful for, and do it for a week straight. I challenge you to continue it, because if you do this, you'll learn to be more thankful and be less anxious, worried, or depressed. That's a powerful word. Let us pray. Lord God, we just give thanks for your great love for us and your call for us to live a life of thanksgiving, a life of gratitude. Lord, let that attitude of gratitude just emanate. Let it shine through us. Let the aroma of thanksgiving just be a fragrance that would draw people to us and to you. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been talking about the marks of the church and some of the powerful marks: forgiveness, joy, thanksgiving, word and sacrament. What powerful marks if we would live with those marks, not just because the truth is, you are the church. You are the church. You're the living letter that most people will read. I want you to know that it's never too late to let God work in your life, to heal, to restore, to reconcile, and to bring you hope. My prayer is that you'll come and live a life of thanksgiving. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, PastorDave@TheSeedChristianFellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, TheSeedChristianFellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.